Adonai Elohim, Abba Father. Adonai Elohim, King of Kings. Adonai Elohim, Lord of Lords, and great I am. And for this too, Master, we worship you, we exalt you, we praise you, and we celebrate your victory. We call on the name above all names, Jesus, who answers and shows us great and mighty things. We ask for your forgiveness, Master, for your mercies, your grace, your continued counsel, correction, and direction. As we repent for anything that we've done that's offended you in thought, word, and in deed, works of the flesh, unfulfilled vows, broken vows. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. We ask that you wash us with the blood tonight, the blood of the Lamb. Wash our spirit, soul, body, members, and memories, every organ, tissue, and blood vessel in our bodies. And we receive the stripes of Jesus, the Word, your Word, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, we are made whole in spirit, soul, and in body. Welcoming the Holy Spirit to come and take your rightful place. Come, Holy Spirit. Come teach us. Come deliver us. Come heal us. Come position us. Come and establish us that Christ will be glorified in us and through us. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our heart to receive. Break every hardened heart tonight, Lord, that the cloak of humility would be established. And grant us tonight, Lord, more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, discernment, strength, and boldness, that we may be about your business in truth, spirit, and in power, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah! Let's go to the book of Revelation. I really like that book. I get revelation every time I go there. Oh, chapter 12. The book of Revelation. Chapter 12 and verse 7. Let's start at verse 1 instead. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Read it together. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Of course, we know the woman represents multiple things. First of all, it represents, when you read the Word of God, you must know whether God is speaking of past, present, or future. And in the Word here, it says that the woman is also a representation of Israel. Amen? Because God was married to Israel. And also, it's a representation of Mary, the mother that was going to give birth. And it's also a representation of the body of Christ that was to come. Everybody okay? And it said, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And we know that the 12 stars also is a representation of 12 tribes of Israel. Also, there's 12 constellations in the imagery of everything written in the heavenlies from the birth of Christ to the return of the line of Judah. Is everybody with me? Everybody understand this? And also, it represents the 12 disciples. And verse 2, and being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. How many of you know you're all pregnant? Everybody's pregnant. Why? Because you're supposed to be birthing those things from the spirit realm and in the natural realm. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 7 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Those were the angels that were with him. He's talking about Lucifer, who is now known as the serpent or the dragon. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. I want to share something about that because I want you to understand that the devil knows when your mother was pregnant. And he's been trying to devour you from as soon as the seed was conceived. He was trying to access us through ancestral curses right when that seed was conceived. From that moment on. And if he couldn't get us right then and there, he was trying to get us when we came out of the womb of the mother. But you know what? In some areas, he succeeded by killing the seed that was conceived, and it's called abortion. Are you listening? And from that moment on, as soon as you and I came out of the womb of the mother, the devil's been trying to destroy us. He's trying to encroach in me and you, or on me and you, what we want to call is witchcraft in any way that he can. So we know that there has been a fight from the moment that you and I have entered this natural realm. Does everybody understand? The Bible says that war broke out in the heavenlies. Well, hello. If it broke out in the heavenlies, it's breaking out here too, isn't it? War hasn't ceased. It's still going on. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We want to talk about overcoming witchcraft. You know, when we were born into this realm, as a child, I remember many areas of witchcraft that my family had done that I didn't even know about. And many things that we played with and didn't know about, that we thought they were games, like Ouija boards and so forth, and tarot cards, and people going to mediums, and I'm telling you, going to the Chinese places and stacking your pockets with fortune cookies, you know, reading the eight ball, you know. I mean, you know, you can go to museums and all kinds of other carnivals and stuff. There was always somebody there you can put money in and get a card to read your fortune. And, of course, every day your horoscope came out into the local newspaper. Hello. And then, of course, Mom and Dad always received certain things that were brought down the family line of healings, you know, with garlic or with certain things. And they could tell whether the mother was going to have a boy or a girl child by using witchcraft and not even knowing it. So you and I were brought up in an arena of all of this witchcraft that we didn't even know that we were doing and practicing it and coming in agreement with it and just thinking it was okay if somebody else did it. And then we'd find people, you know, trying to get empowered by, I mean, you know, if you turn on the TV, the TV makes the devil look much more powerful than God. You know, it blows my mind that they have these demonic flicks, and there isn't anybody standing up and casting one of these demons out yet, you know. Even in some of the Christian videos, I'm still waiting for somebody to cast out a couple devils and lay hands on the sick and pray in tongues or something. You know, but they candy coat Christianity. And in that, you and I have been brought up in this whole arena because the ruler of this earth is Satan. And he's been trying to bewitch us. He's been trying to curse us. And he's been trying to deceive us and mislead us in every way that he can by witchcraft. And 1 Timothy, is everybody there? In chapter 4, would you read it with me? Now the Spirit expressly says that in what? Latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a what? Hot iron. Now this is powerful if you really think about it. These deceiving spirits and doctrines and demons, these are demonic forces. This is witchcraft. Witchcraft is associated with demons. And one of the things that they try to do is deceive or mislead. That's why it's seducing, deceiving spirits. And they lie. They do hypocrisy. Their conscience is so seared that they can't even get convicted somebody who agrees with them. Are you listening? Now let's go a little further, because it also tells us that forbidding to marry and condemning to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So even those who know the truth can be deceived. They can be seduced. These deceiving spirits are a representation of witchcraft. Everyone say witchcraft. Amen. Go to Galatians 3. Is everybody there? I want to start at verse 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You know, many times fellowships don't like to speak about witchcraft or whatever because they're afraid they might get cursed. Hey, listen, some people don't like to talk about demons because they're afraid they might stir some up. Don't talk about them because then they'll really come after you. Well, that's stinking fear. The Bible says he who's in us is greater than he who's in the world. In fact, the Bible says, and those who follow me and believe in my name, the first thing it says, and they will cast out devils. So you and I are not to be afraid of demonic forces. We're to remove them and destroy them. Yes. You a demon hunter. In verse 1, would you read it with me? O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Now, what happened? Why didn't they obey the truth? They were what? Bewitched. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of the faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? So I want you to understand something that he's saying, that bewitchment and witchcraft is also associated with the flesh. He said, how could you start in the Spirit and being free from witchcraft, now be deceived, be bewitched, to get back into the flesh and thinking that you're serving God? He said, you've been bewitched. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. By what? Faith. See, so they were bewitched, they were deceived, they were manipulated, they were coerced, they were intimidated. That's all an arena of witchcraft. Deceived, manipulated, coerced, and intimidated. That is witchcraft. Is everybody okay? James 4. James chapter 4. It's amazing how many believers are still reading their so-called horoscopes. And they think it's okay. Remember, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. James 4 and verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? It says something very powerful here. Therefore what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the only way that you can resist the devil is to submit to God. If you are not submitting to God, you cannot resist the devil. Has everybody got it? Praise God. So if you're going to submit to God, then you can resist the devil. Now, submitting to God means the kingdom of God, his rule, his government, and his authorities. His rule, his government, and his authorities. It is a kingdom. Without submitting to those three areas in the kingdom of God, you cannot resist the devil. You know, there's so many people having a struggle with the devil. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why? Because you're not submitting to those three areas. You're either grumbling and complaining. Hello? And let me tell you, grumbling and complaining is agreeing with witchcraft. Because you're speaking exactly what they want you to. And you are sowing corruptible seed and you're bringing a curse on yourself. Are you listening? And then you wonder why marriages fall apart. Hello? People wonder why all kinds of things begin to fall apart and this and that. And everybody's busy looking at everybody else instead of themselves. When they're the ones that are not submissive. They're trying to get somebody else to submit to the kingdom of God, but they can't submit themselves. Hello? Is everybody okay? Praise God. So submit to God, kingdom rule, government, authority. Then you can resist the devil. His bewitchments of deception by manipulation, intimidation, and fear. That's also witchcraft in every area. See, if you can't submit, you can't resist. If you can't submit, you can't discern. It's impossible. That's why some believers only reach a certain level of growth, of maturity, and they never really mature in an area. They're constantly doing it over and over and over and over. Why? Because they're constantly allowing the arena of bewitchment, deception, or witchcraft to be involved in their life because they've never severed themselves completely, and they can't resist the devil because they're not submitting to God's rule, government, and authority. Go to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. It's amazing in the area where God is training us up to know these things. Because in this time that we are at right now, there's more demonic activity happening. Come on, you look at the world. I mean, look at all the people that voted for the wrong person. Talk about deception and witchcraft. I mean, there's such a delusion. It's like a rehearsal of what's getting ready to come. Remember, we are in a secular collapse. And when we are in a secular collapse, the government, knowing or unknowing, is forcing mankind to soon take the mark. Because that's the only way they'll be able to eat. Everything is going to be controlled. Everything. You know, if you've seen some of these interviews and so forth on in the news and whatever, that you, I don't know if you knew this or not, but you know when the bankers had to get together to receive the stimulus package or whatever, this billions of dollars each one, they were forced to take it. They weren't asked to take it. They were forced. And the purpose of being forced to take it is so that the government would now have more control over them. In fact, they were actually coerced to take it. Because they were told, if you don't take it, we're going to audit you. Now, there's a group that's considering turning around and suing the government for coercion. They didn't want to say, they couldn't fight it because they were afraid they'd get audited. Because, you know, you can find anything in an audit or manipulate it or turn it around to the bad. And it would close them down for a long period of time where they'd end up collapsing anyways. See, so right now there's so much manipulation, intimidation, and control. Why? Because the devil thrives on control. This is what's happening right now. This is where this country's involved in. All is secular, which secular the meaning of secular is a society without the reverence of God. Well, they claim that there's a God, but they don't reverence him. It's amazing in how many people. Incredible. Now you see that even some of the, like Notre Dame and so forth, and some of these colleges where the president wants to go speak, but he's a promoter of killing babies. And I'm not ashamed or afraid to say it because I don't care. He's a murderer of children. And the blood is on his hands. And every one of those reverend guys that are associated with, their blood's on their hands too. And they're going to stand before my dad unless they repent soon. And they call themselves reverends. They call themselves believers. But they put a man in that promotes abortion. That's just plumb crazy. And they are bewitched because it's witchcraft that's deceived them and put them in that place and make that decision. Is everybody okay? Praise God. I better stop there. Let's go to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. Is everybody there? In verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because these are an abomination, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. So why? Because the nations they were going into were paganism. They were run by demonic forces. And they were not to submit to any of these areas whatsoever. You know, even praying to the dead is an abomination to the Lord. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except for through the Son. So why would you want to pray to your grandmother or a saint or your grandfather? That's praying to the dead, and it brings a curse on us. And it's amazing. And how many people are still saying that they're believers and they're still praying to Aunt Lucy, thinking that she's close to God. Well, she is. Hopefully. Hello? She's close to one or the other, you know what I'm saying? But she can't hear you, man. It's over with. You know, but you talk about bewitchment and deception. Because even, and I'm not against anything, I'm just exposing, amen? I mean, there's a lot of, it doesn't matter, God judges by the heart, right? Praise God. But if you think about it, how many organizations pray to the dead, right? But yet they come against abortion. I mean, you know, they don't like abortion, but they'll pray to the dead. We'll talk about bewitched and deceived. You know why? Because you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost to be led by the Spirit of God to know the truth. Because He's the Spirit of truth and He'll guide you to all truth. If you're listening. Witchcraft. Now let me share something about witchcraft. Witchcraft is usually used through curses and spells. Curses. Why? Because the devil's always trying to get you to get cursed. That's how he gets access to you. A curse is a legal document that says that a demon can carry that says, I got legal access. And God can't do anything about it until that person breaks that curse off their life and repents for that sin. Divination, you know, divination is associated with fortune telling, false prophets. They conjure up familiar spirits. That's divination. They try to tell you things of the future. Well, now I'm not saying that they don't see some of the future, but it's limited. And then they'll also lie about it too, because they love lying. So people go to these psychics or whatever, and they're loaded with these familiar spirits, and they can tell somebody something that's coming up. And I'm not saying that they're not lying in some of them. Some of it's true. But see, they're just hitting in the spirit realm because they can see certain things. Because see, you and I, but in the natural realm, people are bound by space and time. But in the spirit, there is no space and time. So as you can get in the spirit, you can see things all the way through. The Lord has showed me things and taken me in a dream, which showed me 15 years ago that now has come to pass. And many other things. Amen. But you're to see it through the blood of Christ, not through familiar spirits. Because eventually they'll end up possessing you and killing you. Some of these rock stars, in fact, the first rock star was Lucifer. The Bible says that he had stones all over and he had these harps coming out of him. He was the first rock star. And anybody else who followed him. And if you talk to some of these rock stars with music and so forth, some of those guys say they can't even sleep until they play because they're so demonized. I mean, you can watch some of them playing and whatever. Their eyes are rolling in their head and fingernails are growing, you know. Anyways, divination, fortune-telling, false prophets conjuring familiar spirits. Sorcery is also where associated operates through objects. Like music, associated with sorcery. Accursed items, like a t-shirt that's got a logo on it of booze, drugs, pornography, anything to that degree is an accursed item. Drugs. The word drug comes from a word called pharmakia, which means black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. Why? Because what it does, it deceives you. You know, people take pain medication. Well, you know, it doesn't heal it, does it? But it tells the body that it doesn't have pain. But it really does. It's called deception, isn't it? So even medication is used. And some people can take it even further and become addicted. So sorcery is associated with objects, music, potions, videos, charms, accursed items. Things associated with accursed items. That's why it's good to clean your house out from accursed items. and all sorts of videos or like I said, even some of the old pictures and things that we used to have and that weren't nice and so forth. All those things are cursed items in any way whatsoever. You know, like little statues, you know. Hello. You know, some of all the infinite progs, you know. I used to call those wise guys. Mom used to have them all over her house. I'd say, oh, man, I'm coming down to kick these wise guys over. Rosaries. People don't even realize about a rosary. Why? Because a rosary represents praying to the dead. And my Jesus is not on the cross. He's off. Hallelujah, he's risen. Praise God. Anyways, there are certain things that are accursed items. And when you have accursed items, the devil uses witchcraft. He uses sorcery on this. So the Bible says in the book of Joshua that you cannot defeat your enemy if you have witchcraft items or accursed items. So many people are still wondering, well, I'm doing all this right under it, and they still got Santa Claus hanging up in their attic or whatever. Santa Claus is nothing but a fat, jolly demon, man. Hello? It's an accursed item. Man, we need to let our kids know you're sitting on a demon's lap, man. Don't send your family and whatever things with Santa Claus on them. Praise God. And what people wonder why they're having problems. The Easter Bunny, hallelujah. We got a video for that one, let me tell you. Praise God. Go to Galatians 6, please. Galatians chapter 6. Yeah, Rudolph ran away when she found out what Santa Claus really was. You know, people use those lucky things, you know. In fact, if anybody really understood where the word lucky comes from, it comes from Lucifer. They have these four-leaf clove, whatever they are. Four-leaf clovers. Or the horseshoes over their house. You know, they got the lucky horseshoe that you walk in. Surprised it ain't hit him in the head yet. But it will. It won't hang there too long. Once Jesus steps in the house, it's gone. In Galatians 6, in verse 6, let's read it. Let him who taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be what? Deceived or what? Bewitched. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we what? Do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. So we see what you sow is what you eat. Now, reap. Satan gets us to sow in the flesh and brings a curse on us. You got it. If he can get you to sow in the flesh, he can curse you. That brings a legal access to steal, kill, and destroy. And that curse not only stays on you, but goes down your family line to your children until it is finally broken. Hosea 4:6. Is everybody okay? Hosea 4:6. How many of you know you can curse yourself? Did you ever go to a 12-step meeting? Hi, my name is Watchin', and I'm an addict. That's nice. Well, you just curse yourself. Now, there's a time to admit it where you come out of denial, but every time you go to a meeting, well, I got to do 90 days of 90 whatever. That's nice. You just curse yourself 89 times. The first time you didn't because you came and admitted. The other 89 times you did. Now you wonder why you're still an addict. Why? Because what you speak is what you confess is what you possess. Amen? Well, it'll never amount to anything. And think of how many labels people have cursed one another with, especially with a child, you know, in the area where, you know, you got a mother or father or whatever that's out of line or somebody that's been in jail or whatever, and somebody will come up and say, oh, you're just like your mother or you're just like your father. Well, they just cursed that person. See, but the devil loves to put curses on children. So they struggle from the moment they come out of the womb. And, you know, even especially children that have been adopted, children that have been adopted in the area where sometimes they don't know where they've come from. And in that, but it doesn't matter where you've come from, you still break that. But a lot of times the children that have been adopted come through and they carry a spirit of rejection with them. And for sometimes it's tough until that's broken off. Because any child that's born out of wedlock gets a bastard curse. So all of these children that are out there that have been born out of wedlock have a bastard curse, and they're carrying the spirit of fear and rejection all the time. And that's how the devil operates. But you know, one of the parents or somebody can break it off from them, that child could eventually break it off of them. But see, by us knowing the truth, because we carry the sword of the Spirit, it's important that we begin to bring this further and further from the church walls into our households and into our neighbors' homes, into the cities, into the state, into the country, and into the world, so that people can get freed up. Hosea 4:6, is everybody there? My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected the knowledge or the truth, I will also reject you for being priests for me. And that's someone close to the Lord. And that's the first office we're to fulfill. And it's, you know, and there are many people who are out doing ministry who have never fulfilled their priesthood. So what they're actually doing is they're trying to do third floor ministry on a first floor foundation, and it always crumbles. See, because we must maintain our priesthood. That's your undergarments that go under your armor. Did you ever wear metal with nothing underneath it? Man, it's irritating. See, your priesthood anointing is your underwear now, okay? And he said, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So we see a curse comes down the family line, doesn't it? And we wonder why our children have gone astray in certain areas. So in this, destroy for lack of truth. Submit. Why? Because they didn't submit to the truth, did they? They reject the truth, so they didn't submit to it. And by not submitting to it, it brought a curse, didn't it? So he says, submit to the truth, and there's no destruction. Reject truth, and you become rejected. Forget the law or the Lord's way, and bring a curse, and reject our children. This is called rebellion. This is where a child becomes rebellious. Why? Because a family member or whatever down the family line have rejected, are you listening? Rejected the ways of God. Have not submitted to the kingdom, his rule, his government, and his authority. And what happens is a curse comes down because they've rejected. Now rebellion comes into play. Does everybody understand it? And rebellion is witchcraft. This is where the devil now has access. And sometimes in this area, the person can't even see, doesn't even know that they're carrying a curse because they can only see so far. The only interest that they have is the other trinity of me, myself, and I. What's good for me, what's best for me, whatever. Everything else is rebellion. Why? Because they're under a curse. That's a fruit of it. Does everybody understand? Well, these are the areas that we're fighting right now. This is called rebellion. 1 Samuel 15. How many of y'all want to overcome witchcraft? Well, that's why the Bible says, come out from among them and don't touch anything unclean. Because accursed items are unclean. How many of y'all know a cigarette's an accursed item? Amen. They had to just put demons on that package. 1 Samuel 15. Is everybody there? And verse 18. 1 Samuel 15, 18. Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? And why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, and the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So what did he do? He was disobedient, wasn't he? He was bewitched. He actually thought he was doing the right thing for God. But see, he did not obey, did he? He did not submit. The Lord said, totally destroy everything. He brings back the king and all of his goods. And he justified. Now, I want you to understand that justification is associated with witchcraft. Why? Because justification is a lie. When you've got to justify for your disobedience, it is a lie. Disobedience is disobedience. If you say you're going to do something and don't do it and you justify it, you're lying and you're under a curse. And that is called witchcraft. And some people wonder why they can't come out of it. Because they keep piling it up, keep doing the same thing over and over. Is everybody okay? So in this, King Saul thought he was doing the right thing. He figured that, well, you know, this is okay. I'm going to show God that I can do something even better than what he asked me to do. He blew it. This is what happened in verse 22. And Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of what? Witchcraft. So rebellion is witchcraft, isn't it? And stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from what? From being priest or being king. He rejected once for a priest, right? We get rejected for being a priest. And here we can get rejected for being a king. And the Bible says that you and I are called to be priests and kings. But they were bewitched. They were what? Come on, say it. They were bewitched. Now, rebellion is witchcraft, stubbornness is idolatry. Now, I want you to understand this, because Saul was stubborn. He put his opinions and his justification before God. He put his opinions and his justifications before what God said. Does everybody get this? That's called idolatry. Anything that you have that you put before what God says is idolatry. If the Lord tells you to do something and you justify and whatever, you're putting your, in reason, you're putting your opinion higher than God's word. And it is called idolatry. And it's backed up by witchcraft. Is everybody okay? You know, you think about so many things that are inherited in our lives. You know, so many curses that have come down. How many families, they've come down with a curse of divorce, where there isn't anybody that can stay married in the family until finally somebody breaks the curse. You know? And especially in the area of addiction. An addiction is a curse that comes down the family line. You are what you've inherited. But the root of it, and that's something that we always have to look for. Where is the root? Because the root of addiction in any area is rejection. It's rejection in some way. There was a place where open door of rejection was established, and now they try to medicate or cover it up. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Overcoming witchcraft. That's why in the area of even emotional attachments of people, places, and things in our life, when we find ourselves being in the area of being deceived or doing something we know isn't right, we must find out what the root is and sever it from us. You know, did you ever listen to a song that all of a sudden brought you back to your past? Hello? Well, there's an opportunity to sever yourself from emotional attachment with that song. And with the people, places, and things associated with it. You know, I was watching TV over the weekend. I turned the station and I walked in the living room. And I wasn't able to really talk about this before, but I can talk about it now. And I don't know if you ever saw the, there's a series called Captured. And I guess they capture thieves and murderers and so forth. Anyway, so I walked in my living room and all of a sudden I saw this face come on TV. And I said, my God, I know that person. And it was somebody that I knew from my past who was a nightclub owner and very successful. And he lived upstate. And then they went to a commercial and they came back and then they mentioned a name. And they literally showed that this guy, he had cameras in his own home. And what had happened was he was there with two other girls and somebody busted in the house, two guys, and came in and actually shot and killed them right there. And they went back and they put more bullets in each one of their heads. And one of the girls was an actress also. So it was, I saw my person that I know when I was back in the world get murdered on national TV. I was devastated. I mean, it just took me by surprise. I found myself weeping and mourning, and it just wiped me out, and I couldn't understand, you know. And I began to think about the areas of, man, that could have been me, because I was living that way. And I began to be grateful, and I was grateful, but then for the next 48 hours, I found myself mourning off and on and off and on and weeping and weeping. And I kept saying to the Lord, why am I so mourning? I was mourning more for this man than I did my mother. And I realized that my mourning was, I wonder where he went. I mean, I have an idea where he went. But I think my mourning was, I hope he made amends with God while he was lying on his face thinking that he was going to die. But I had to sever myself because it started bringing up certain things of my past. And what I did was I called some of my old associates and I said, man, did you know about such and such and whatever? And they said, yes. And that led to something else and I had to stop. And then I had to begin to sever every emotional attachment with what I saw with that person, with the nightclubs, with all of these other things, and then I was freed. And I didn't mourn anymore, and it was over with. See, because the enemy tries to bring an open door in your life. But when these things come up in your life, you must take opportunity to begin to sever these things in every area. In other words, there's areas where people react instead of respond. It's called works of the flesh. Where people are still holding unforgiveness, bitterness, still blaming their spouse for what they're not even doing right. Still unforgiveness of children because of what's happened, because they didn't listen or whatever. All of these areas that the devil uses in the area of witchcraft to bewitch us and to allure us off of God's perfect will or his path in our life. That's why God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's why we're getting this now, because we've got to fight even harder than we ever have in those areas of severing emotional attachments and coming from underneath that rebellious spirit and that witchcraft and idolatry. It's time to get set free and get rid of these accursed items and clean house, cleaning this house, your house. And Galatians 5 and verse 19, would you read it with me, please? It says, now the works of the flesh are what? I'm sorry? Evident. What are they? Which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. Look at idolatry. See, works of the flesh, idolatry. Sorcery. Look at, he's telling you that by doing the works of the flesh, we're under a curse and we're under witchcraft and becoming bewitched. Hatred. Contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand. Just as I also told you in time past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, so will a medium inherit the kingdom of God? Will a sorcerer? Will a drunkard? Or an addict? No. So repentance and washing of the blood comes. Does everybody get this? Believe me, when you die, either the demons come and get you or the angels of the Lord come and get you? Who you serve where you when you die is where you go. So we see that these works of the flesh is sorcery and idolatry. It is rebellion is a work of the flesh by rejecting God. No, in other words, by rejecting God, you are rejecting the legitimate authority of all. You are rejecting the highest authority of everything by rejecting God. Now, people that are put in offices or places of authority by themselves or by flesh is called illegitimate authority, and that's still witchcraft. So we see here that Satan's weapon is what? Deception. And his power is fear. His weapon is deception and his power is fear, and they are enforced by witchcraft. Everybody got it? Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. And his power is fear. And how are they enforced? By witchcraft. Let's go to Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2. In verse 18. And the angel of the Lord of the church of Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like flame of fire, his feet like a fine brass. It says, I know your works, love, service, faith, your patience, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. Sounds pretty good. Nevertheless, I have these things against you because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan. So you got to understand that he was acknowledging the spirit of Jezebel is satanic. Why? Because there was witchcraft there. Now, I want you to understand that not only a woman can be influenced by the spirit of Jezebel, but can a man. Okay? Now, to you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. So I want you to understand something about this spirit. Jezebel is an illegitimate authority. What it does, it is witchcraft. In fact, the Hebrew name for Jezebel is a representation of Baal as husband. Baal as husband. And Jezebel is always associated with an Ahab spirit. In other words, where that spirit likes to control another person in every area. It likes to control. Jezebel's agenda is to promote false religion, undermine authority, let's lure people away from the true spiritual covering that God has placed them in. Do I need to repeat that? It promotes false religion, it undermines authority, and it lures people away from the true spiritual covering that God has placed them in. It is resentful. And when approached, tries to make others feel inferior by becoming defensive and sometimes hostile. The spirit causes individuals to become a busybody. It's a corruptible seed planter. It's a master at disguising his or her agenda. Jezebel births offsprings of rejection, addiction, perversion, homosexuality, betrayal, and controlling, power to control. The Spirit steals our hearts away from the vision of the leadership. And it prays, its prey is with the weak in the flesh to seduce and produce spiritual offsprings of Ahab, Eli, Judas, divination, and familiar spirits. You'll have to get the tape. Its Trinity is me, myself, and I. It labors to look good, but it does not labor unto the Lord. It labors to manipulate. It also manipulates in the area by being in constant need of affection or attention. Does everybody understand? Is everybody okay? That's called Jezebel. Jezebel can either be on a man or a woman. It doesn't matter. It is a powerful spirit, and the Lord said that we're to expose it and rebuke it. Again, I want to share with you that it produces offsprings of Ahab, Eli, Judas, divination, and familiar spirits. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. You know, because when you start reading about what the letter said at church, it sounds pretty good. Man, they sound pretty good. But then all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute. Jesse just showed up. Now you got to remember that because we're not fighting flesh and blood, we are fighting powers of darkness. These areas need to be exposed. It's not like, first of all, when people grab hold of these spirits, we're not to just cast them out of fellowships. We're supposed to cast the devils out of them. But they usually end up running anyways. In verse 22, 1 Samuel chapter 2, in verse 22. Now Eli was a prophet of the Lord for many years. In verse 22 it says, Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. These were Eli's sons. They were not willing. Eli was not willing to correct them. He might, don't do that now. But I guess he wasn't willing to kick their butt, throw them out of the tabernacle, or do something sufficient enough so that they would change their ways. He still let them live with them. This is an Eli spirit that pets wickedness. Are you listening? And this is birthed by Jezebel. And it is witchcraft. Look at in verse 23. So he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. Now look at, no, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear you make the Lord's people transgress. Praise God, he should have got out the Holy Ghost baseball bat. In verse 27, finally the Lord said, that's enough. And the Lord sent a man of God, because Eli was supposed to be the man of God and the prophet, but he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And the man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? In other words, don't you remember? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offerings when I commanded in my dwelling place and honor your sons more than me? Yow. Why do you honor your sons more than me? See, now Eli's sons became idolatry. Does everybody understand that? Because he was honoring his sons, knowing what his sons were doing, more than what God said to do. Verse 30, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. And you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. Then any of your sons whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, and Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and morsel of bread and say, please, put me in one of those priestly positions that I may eat the piece of bread. Now, I want you to also understand what happens here, because Eli was old now, okay? And what had happened was they had the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence. But because of his disobedience, war came. And actually, the Philistines came against Eli, against Israel. And they stole the Ark of the Covenant. They killed his two sons, and when word came to Eli, he fell off of his chair and broke his neck and died. And he lost it all. See, that Eli spirit, by agreeing with that Eli spirit, because it causes an individual to commit idolatry and put the child or children before God, it brings a curse. And by doing that, it will also remove the presence of God in his favor. Is everybody okay? Let's go to Romans 16. Romans 16. Overcoming witchcraft. You know, the first thing to overcome witchcraft is to know that it's there. Has everybody got it? The first thing that you got to do to overcome witchcraft is to know that it's there. Why? Because he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, we should be knowing these things. That's why we're learning them more and more. And they need to be passed down to our children. And children's children. And I don't think we'll have much after that. We'll probably be going home then. Hallelujah. In Romans 16, is everybody there? Praise God. In verse 17. 16:17. Let's read it together. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Why? Because they're what? Bewitched. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. So is flattery bewitchment or sorcery? Or amen? It's manipulation, isn't it? Flattery. Now look at this. See, because they're not submitting, because the second thing you must be able to do to resist the devil is to do what? Submit to the kingdom of rule, government, and authority. So because of that, they weren't submitting, were they? So if you're not submitting, they're disobedient. But they were using flattery words to try to manipulate, because flattery is associated with manipulation. People flatter one another to get something. Hello? Come on, you remember when you're in the secular world? Sheesh. Everybody flattered everybody to get something. See, this is where your labor should be unto the Lord. In other words, I do not labor in my home to get something from my wife. I don't bring her flowers to get something from her. I don't do the dishes to get something from her. If I'm doing that, I'm manipulating, and witchcraft is on me. Is everybody okay? I labor unto the Lord. I do those things to please my Father because I know it pleases her. If it pleases my Father, it's going to please her. I am laboring unto the Lord, not to get anything from my wife, but to please my Father. The moment I stop doing that, I'm opening myself up to witchcraft. And that brings a curse on my life and opens the door for the devil to come and steal, kill, and destroy. And God will not hear the prayers of a husband or a wife that is manipulating their spouse. Part two. Hallelujah. Y'all okay? Okay, verse 19. For your obedience has become known to all, therefore I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So he's showing again that flattery is associated with Satan's kingdom. It's manipulation, isn't it? Jude 16. Now, not chapter. There's just only one chapter, so just go to Jude. Book of Jude. Hey, listen, even if, we labor unto the Lord, even at our jobs. Because, see, when people are laboring to get something, they'll do it in front of their boss, but they change when their boss is away. Well, God sees it. See, because the fear of the Lord isn't there. There isn't a reference to God. Because the Lord should always be before us. If that's not happening, we've been bewitched in some way or another. See, the Lord should always be before us. The reverence to God. In other words, no matter what you're doing, there's no closed doors. Complete open. Right before Him. No matter what. If that's what's happening, then there won't be manipulation. They'll be laboring on to the Lord and not laboring on for self, for selfish gains. Now, even when you go out to labor, you're going out to get a paycheck, but you're laboring on to the Lord, right? God knows that you need what's want. He's not saying, give me your whole check so you can starve to death. But He is asking for 10% of it. Why? So He can bless us and get us more. But by being rebellious to tithes and offerings, we bring a curse on ourselves. Does everybody get it? It's amazing how many people get an inheritance and they just put it away. I'm going to save it for a rainy day. They're going to collect interest off us, do this, do that, but never tithe off of it. They don't even realize that there's already a curse there. I've seen so many people lose so much money because they got an inheritance and never tithe off of it. And they end up losing that whole inheritance because they get more and more in debt, everything else, because no matter what they do, won't prosper. Just can't. Because that's what the Lord says. He tells us in Malachi chapter 3, why would you rob me of tithes and offerings? You are cursed. And if God puts a curse on you, believe me, it's there. That means the devil is like, all of hell is going, hallelujah. I think that's the only time that all of hell, hallelujah, is God, is when the Lord puts a curse on somebody. Verse 16, let's read it together. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain what? Advantage. You know, it's difficult for some individuals, especially if they're in telemarketing. You got to be careful. You got to tell the truth and trust God. Because God is on the line with you. The phone has been tapped by the throne room of God. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit or not submitting to the Spirit because they are bewitched. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So the first thing about overcoming witchcraft, right, is to know that it's there. You can't overcome something you don't know. The second area of overcoming witchcraft is to submit. Submit to God's kingdom of rule, government, and authority so that you can resist the devil and discern. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness." Wow. False religion. Bewitched. Cursed. "But denying its power, and from such people, stay away. For this sort, those are who are creeping to households, ministries, businesses, and make captives of gullible men and women, load them down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." In other words, not able to submit to the truth because they can't submit to kingdom rule, government, and authority. So the truth cannot be practiced or manifested in their life. That's why they never get free. They have a sense of always learning, 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 but never broke through. Why? Because they're unstable. Hello? And what I mean by unstable, you don't know what they're going to do. When they say they're going to do something, you don't know. They're unaccountable. Did you ever go to, you ever been at work and you see a person show up and then they don't show up for 2 days, and then they show up, and then, you know, I mean, they're inconsistent. If an individual is inconsistent, there is a curse somewhere. There is a bewitchment. Because an individual should be consistent in what God is telling them to do. They are consistent. Consistency is a fruit of faithfulness. Because an individual who's consistent is faithful. And that person will learn and overcome and walk in truth. But there are people who are constantly learning and never able to walk in the truth because they're inconsistent. They pray twice a week. Or they have a form of religion. They say, "Good morning, God. Thank you for this day. I'm going to work. Bless my socks off. Amen." Don't work that way. "Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all things will be added to you." Not seek what's added to you, and then later look for the kingdom. Don't work that way. Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. It says, "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." So what about the man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly? They're cursed. Now, the counsel of the ungodly is going to bring a curse, and there's witchcraft behind it. "Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." All that's going to bring a curse of anyone that does this. But whoever doesn't do this will bring blessing. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." In other words, he's seeking the kingdom. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But for the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The third thing that we must constantly do is expose it. Because if you're not willing to expose it, it will overcome you. So I just want to share with you that there's three major things that we must do to overcome witchcraft. Number one is to understand it and know that it's there, what it is. Number two is to constantly submit to kingdom, rule, government, and authority so that you can resist the devil and discern. And number three is to expose it. Everybody got it? We are to expose it. Titus 1. Titus. It's under the T's. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Why? Because of witchcraft. They are bewitched. I'm going to close at Colossians 3. So he says that in Titus that they must be rebuked or exposed. Three things: understand, submit, and expose. Or witchcraft will overtake you. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Let me tell you something. This country is being judged. Right now, God is just discerning what kind of judgment he's going to bring. But it is coming. In verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. Everything is about Christ. Christ, he sees it, he knows that nothing's hidden from him. Now, one of the things that is important is to cooperate with him. Submission means cooperate. To submit to God and resist the devil means that you are cooperating with God so that you can take dominion. See, if you don't submit under authority, you have none. You have none. There is no lone ranger out there. Everybody is submitting under authority in one way or another. Overcome witchcraft, deception, bewitchment, curses. Because if you don't learn, you'll burn. You'll either get burned, the devil will use you to burn somebody else, or you could eternally burn. And I know we don't want that. Is everybody okay? You got it? You're going to kick some butt now? You're going to understand? You're going to submit, and you're going to expose. And you're going to overcome witchcraft in every area of your life. Amen? It's a good night to die. And to God be the glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the truth that leads us to all truth. I pray, Lord, and apply the blood of Jesus on all the seed that's been imparted tonight, that it will grow and bear fruit for your glory, and that you would quicken us to these areas so that we can overcome witchcraft in every area of our life and give you all the glory, honor, and praise. in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.